Today we're going to turn to Jonah again. And so we're going to read Jonah 3, 1 to 10. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And as okay. Yeah. So it says, I'm just reading from NIV today. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time to go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a very important city, a visit requiring 3 days. It's amazing how in his original disobedience, God gave him a second chance. How many chances has he given us in our disobedience? I think some of us have lost count. But he's a merciful God that even when we blow it, and sometimes if he was reluctant to even repent of his first initial disobedience. So even in our reluctancy to repent, still God will put us to a place that where we cannot run anymore, that we need to turn to him. And he starts to do heart surgery on us. Because I know I need heart surgery on my heart in certain areas. I don't know about yourselves. Right? Sometimes we're reluctant to do what God has called us to do. And I always find it's question, why am I reluctant at times to do what God has asked me to do? So he went to the great city to proclaim the message, what God gave him to do. And we see the blessing in that. Sometimes we struggle with doing what God has called us to do. Sometimes why are we reluctant to do what God has asked to do? Is it because of pride? Is it because we have our own agendas? Is it because I don't really trust God's word fully? Or maybe I don't believe it wholeheartedly? Maybe that he's not really reigning as Lord in my life? Why is it sometimes we need to be his ambassadors? Because the New Testament calls us, when we become a child of God, we're his ambassadors. We represent him and we share the goodness of what the Lord is doing in our lives. So are we reluctant at times because we doubt that God's working in our life? I don't know, does anybody else have any reason why sometimes we are reluctant? Fear? Fear of man?
Fear of man, fear of not knowing the next step.
Yeah. Maybe we're reluctant because we don't think somebody deserves God's grace. Maybe we think, well, I'm reluctant to share the goodness because I have difficulty. Because we have people that we love to hate. Right? That's a good... Sometimes we love to hate certain people. We hate them, but are we reluctant? I know sometimes we don't want to pray for them. So we are reluctant to share with them or even to pray for them. Sometimes we're reluctant because we think they don't deserve God's mercy. Maybe we're reluctant because of hurts. Maybe there's barriers in our lives that is not dealt with, and so there's reluctancy of actually forgiving them or praying for them. And we build those walls because we're reluctant to actually show the mercy of God to people. Sometimes we just keep them at arm's length. We don't want to be around them. Sometimes it's easier to love somebody that we could embrace, who doesn't rub us the wrong way. Right? But just think about how God has called us out. Because we're all sinners. And by God's mercy and his grace, we received salvation through Christ. So maybe that we're afraid of sharing because sometimes we are reluctant to share what God has been doing in our lives. Jonah is reluctant to do what God wanted. But God brought him turmoil in his life to bring him back. He used the fish as an Uber to bring him to the shores of Nineveh. Right? The fish is just the way, the transportation, how Jonah got to the shores. Not the story, but how he did it. And so sometimes he uses things in our lives to get us to a place where we are reluctant to obey so that we would actually become obedient to his word. You know, it's amazing. Just think about when Jonah, what he would have smelled like when he came out of the fish. Right? He would have smelled pretty vile. He would have smelled, would have been bleached probably from all the stomach acid. But yet, that's what sin smells like. It's pretty rank, pretty rancid smell. One time I used the term, you know what a pig farm smells like? It's pretty strong. Even that's how strong sin smells. But the Lord, when we repent, he's quick to forgive us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But are we willing to repent? How is our heart condition? Because I think of Jonah, his heart was not sold out. He's still reluctant, but he obeyed out of being reluctant. Out of his reluctancy, he obeyed and still went to Nineveh and to share the news that God told him to share. Right? But God wasn't still done with Jonah yet. You know, while the goal was to get God, the Ninevites, to repentance through Jonah's preaching, the Lord was also to change Jonah's unloving spirit. Jonah did not want that hostile people to experience God's divine grace and forgiveness. Though even eventually arrive at Nineveh, his heart did not change. That's why God's after our heart. We could say all the right things. We could do all the right things. But does he have our heart? I think of, I was reading this book, I know Marv was talking about this, How to Conquer Iniquity. And I read a couple pages, and he says here, iniquity is plainly defined. It is a condition of the heart that desires to be unequal with the will of God, to what he had made us to be, but he wants us to be in his will, or what he wants us to do. So iniquity is being selfish. It's setting up an ego in the place of the rightful place of God in our life. It's setting up other than what should be, where God should be on our heart. We allow self being selfish to be that place of the pedestal. We're not allowing God to be the throne of our heart, but we're allowing our own desires to be on throne. Hopefully, there's page 46 I'll turn to. There is, or 43 says, iniquity is the cause of all sin. The first sin in the Bible was preceded by the first iniquity in the Bible. The act of disobedience was motivated by the iniquity of, in Genesis 3:5 says, ye shall be as gods. Satan was saying to Eve that you guys should be as gods, setting themselves up to be a god. That's where iniquity became, and they played with iniquity, and then it became sin because they acted it out. So we can do iniquity without sin, but we cannot sin without iniquity. In the following text, we must pay attention to the word, whereby means by which, through which, by means of which, become of which. I'm like, oh my, you must be a scholar. You can discern and cultivate and nurture of that term. In Scripture, we learn that the cause-effect relationship of iniquity and transgression. Notice the term whereby is used three times. So it says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And they shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor for before all the nations of the earth. That was Jeremiah 33:8-9. So just as we, just what we do need is cleansing, a pardon. And that's exactly where we're heading. So he goes on and talks about iniquity. So iniquity is something that I hold into my heart. A place that is not where God does not reign into my life. Iniquity is something that we ought to be asking. Lord, search my heart. Psalm 139:23-24. Right? Show me anything. Is there any iniquity in my life? Anything that I'm holding on to? So when we ask the Lord, we're asking him to search us. And so when he reveals anything, we repent. So the same thing can happen to us. It is possible to go through the motions of obedience while harboring resentment and anger and rebellious spirit. So we could turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We have it on the... Eric, you want to read it? Sure. Okay, you can read it.
Though I speak with the tongues of the men and of the angels, but have... Oh wait. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I all...
It's okay.
I'm still kind of sleeping. I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Amen. It's okay, you did well. So without love, we can do all these things, and if I don't have love for the lost, if I don't have, because sometimes I know I pray, Lord, I desire to become more like Christ. And if I don't, and I pray that prayer, but I don't have a love for the lost, there's something wrong. And I ask myself, why don't I have the love to share the gospel to somebody who may be my neighbor, who may be my relative or friends? Do I really love them if I'm not willing to share the gospel to them? Those are questions I ask. And why am I reluctant to? You know, I thank God he used my uncle in that to give me a Bible. I thank God he brought godly people into my life. You know, as mentors, right? But I always think about myself. It's like, why am I sometimes reluctant to share the goodness of the Lord? So Ephesians 6:6. Oh my goodness. I don't know why I'm walking over here. I have no speaking to. I'm just going to cover everyone's cheat sheet. Go ahead.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
So doing the will of the Father with our heart. Right? Not to be men pleasers. So sometimes we do things to look good, and we do things publicly to look good, and people praise us. But God is looking at the heart. He's looking, do I really love them? Do I really love my neighbor? Do I really love the Lord? Because those are the two greatest commandments. It says, love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy strength, and with all, right? Love the God, Lord, with all my heart, with all my strength. You know, then love my neighbor as myself. Do I do that? And praise God that he works that in us. And to have that. If we aren't there, maybe if we're reluctant, perhaps we could say, Lord, you know what? I really want to have this love that Christ had for the church, for the lost. Christ had a love for the lost. He had the love for those who nobody else wanted to be around. Tax collectors, the prostitutes, you know, the people who had, nobody else wanted to be around. But Jesus was drawn to them. It's so easy to come to church, it's easy to love one another because we're all family, but sometimes God wants us to get outside the four walls, and he gives us opportunities to share. Conversations start. But do we desire to open our mouths and say, this is why I follow the Lord? So next time you're reluctant to obey the Lord, ask him to change your heart. He wants his children not simply to obey, but to delight in his will. So that's the heart of it, that we delight in his will, that we delight to share, that we delight of open our mouths to him, to people about him. So perhaps we're reluctant to share the good news simply because we're shy. We're reserved and an introvert. And evangelism feels frightening. As an introvert, it is tough for myself. It's amazing that I'm an introvert. God stretched me. For others, our reluctance can put down the learned behavior that we've been raised to keep to ourselves and not to share. Social aspects. Sometimes social groups are more, some nationalities are very more flamboyant. They'll share. Sometimes Canadians or whatever were more reserved, right? Yeah. Sometimes we're reserved. We don't want to share. For many of us, our reluctancy comes down to what we think God is like. And I think sometimes we're reluctant because we see how maybe we're not living the way that God wants us to live, so we're reluctant to share the news. But it's also an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not perfect. God has perfected me. He's maturing me. And the day that I meet him in the air, that's when I become perfect. I'm going to face struggles. I'm going to go through difficulties. I don't have it all together. I don't know all the answers. But sometimes we are reluctant because of where we're at with our walk. Sometimes we feel that we lacked a certain gift. But you know what? The Lord has called us all to evangelize in one shape or another. Right? There's different ways to minister, to reveal Christ to others. Sometimes we lack compassion. Hopefully we don't. I know sometimes I do lack compassion. And I ask the Lord, help me to have a compassionate heart. Perhaps we're reluctant because we are torn down, torn how we are spiritually. I said that. Sometimes that is a big stumbling block. But you know the best time to share the gospel is when you're going through turmoil. Because people will say, how do you have such peace? How do you have such joy when you go through this? So 1 Peter 3:15. What? 3:15. Yeah, 1 Peter 3:15. So, Sec, what translation is yours?
English.
Who has NIV?
Eric does.
No, he doesn't.
No,
he's
in New York. Hey, can someone read NIV after? Okay, Caitlin, can you read that in NIV, please? Okay.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with the meekness and fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stand up, honey. Speak really loud.
But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. New King James is always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks. Do we have are we ready to share? So we'll go to Jonah 3, chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. We'll finish it off here. 4 to 10. I said 3 to 10, didn't I? 4 to 10. You want to read, Jonah?
4 to 10.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jonah 3. 4 to 10.
Thanks. You're welcome. This is a very long one. So. Should I have this before? Okay. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and the beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence that is in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish.
Amen. It's amazing how Jonah was 120,000 people in Nineveh, and they all repented from the king down. Just think of I always think about every revival. Repentance always go before. Repentance is what causes revival. Not trying to get some nice warm fuzzy doctrine or some warm fuzzy scripture or warm fuzzy sermon, but it's all about repentance. Anywhere you read about repentance, it says repent, turn from your ways, turn from your wicked ways. Repent. I think about when I surrendered my life to Christ, I repented. Like all of us. Without true repentance, there's no salvation. Because without repentance, we can never know that we need a Lord and Savior. Because if we don't repent, we think that we're good now. I just come to church and I'm all good. But we need to repent and confess that Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That I need to be redeemed. That I'm filthy rags without Christ. Repentance is start of any revival. People praying for repentance. First off, in our own lives. Has to start in our own lives first. Then in the body of Christ. Then the whole town. Praying for repentance. Lord, I pray that you reveal things in my life that I need to repent of. Even the church where there's false doctrine. Lord, that we would repent of the false doctrine that we may be holding. Lord, we repent of the ways of this town's behaving. Repentance. Change of heart. Realizing that maybe what I'm thinking is not correct. Because it our thoughts are not the way of how God thinks. They are contrary to what God thinks. So we need to line up to what God's word says. So repentance. So somebody who wanted to show his repentant heart would wear a sackcloth and sit on ashes and put ashes on top of his head. So a sackcloth was a coarse material used, usually made of goat's hair, and it was very uncomfortable to wear. Sin is uncomfortable. Ashes signified desolation and ruin. So very simply, sackcloth and ashes were used as an outward sign of one's inward condition, such as a symbol made one's heart, change one's heart, visibly demonstrating how sincere that person is. Even was when they were sad and they were somebody passed away, they put on a sackcloth and sit on ashes. It shows how much I loved and adored those person. It was an outwardly thing, showing their heart. So it was not the act of putting on a sackcloth and ashes itself that moved God to intervene, but the humility that such action would demonstrate their heart condition. When we repent, is there actually a heart change? What's 1 Samuel 6, 16:7? 1 Samuel 16:7.
1 Samuel 16:7.
Oh my goodness. Okay, go ahead, buddy.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Yeah. So God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. God looks at the heart, and he's after our heart. Is our heart truly repent of our actions? So 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. I won't move too far. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26.
2 Timothy what?
2:24. Okay, go, buddy.
And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oh,
26, buddy.
Oh, 26?
Yeah, 25, no.
Okay. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure,
where are we?
Right here.
Repentance.
Oh,
give them.
Oh, but it says if God
peradventure.
Peradventure?
Yeah.
Peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will.
Mm-hmm. So the Lord causes us to repent. So the next one, Ezekiel 18:23. Okay, go ahead.
18:23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
So the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want the wicked to perish. That's the same. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, God does not want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and have him as their Lord and Savior. Through the beginning to the end, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He's not a mean God. He's not a hateful God. He's a God that is so after everybody on this planet. He wants them to confess and repent of their ways and turn to him and to follow his son Jesus. So 1 Timothy 2, 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 4. He's closer.
3 to 4.
Yeah, 3 to 4.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Amen. So he wants all men to be saved, to know the truth of the gospel. So we shouldn't have, we shouldn't nitpick who we should want to share the gospel to. He wants all men and all women to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to share the good news. You know, the Lord can easily have left Nineveh to keep on sinning. And he could have brought his divine judgment upon them without warning. But he didn't. He had mercy upon them. Think how a Jewish man, Jewish prophet, went to Gentiles to preach repentance. Something that was foreign at that time. Here's some why maybe Jonah was reluctant, because they were not Jewish people. He's like, how can I go to Gentiles and preach the good news of Jesus? Well, the goodness of God to them, of repentance. So God in his mercy gave them opportunity to repent by sending Jonah to warn them about the coming judgment. Shows the love of God. He loves them. That they were given 40 days to repent, or else God's judgment would fall upon them. This reminds us that even now, God's mercy is being shown to the whole world by allowing it to continue until this day. We don't know the day, the hour, when we get caught up. We don't know when the day, the hour, when we meet Christ in the air. If we did, I think we might have the habit of just living until that moment, then share the gospel. Since we don't know the time or the hour when we meet Christ, that means we're supposed to be doing the Great Commission. Mentoring, sharing the gospel, being godly examples to people. And sometimes we fail. And we repent and say, God, forgive me for failing you today. He says, that's okay, I'll pick you up, brush you off, go back out again. And we learn from that. We're not going to do it right the first time. We might have trouble sharing the gospel. But as long as we share it from the heart and how God worked in our lives and how God changed us, people see the genuine from our hearts, because they long for peace. They long for joy. They long to be not caught up in certain lifestyles. But we share the gospel in humility and with love. So the news about Jonah and his miraculous delivered, how he was delivered onto the beach by the whale or by the fish, that, can you imagine how that went through the city? They would have been talking about, then he was talking about the message that God gave him. It must have been really challenging because Nineveh, the Assyrians, were very harsh people. And for all people in Nineveh to repent, it must have got to the very core of their hearts. Even the king got off his throne and put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. It affected everyone in that whole community. Even, can you imagine trying to put sackcloth on cattle or livestock? That would be difficult. But God, in that time, he allowed him to repent, to get right with him. It shows the mercy of God, the love of God. I think about how in Acts 2:36, the message at Pentecost, and how the message was about repentance. In Acts 2:36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assured that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And now they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Their heart was cut. It pierced their heart. And Peter and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And those who gladly received his word were baptized on that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Repentance. Same as in Jonah. He spoke of doom, and here they are in Acts. But repentance. The change of heart. Here's God not done with us. It's amazing how we could share the good news. Is there something that the Lord desires you to repent of? Not to repent half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Is there anything in our lives that the Lord is speaking to you about? I would say, you know, if you need prayer, we could pray with you. But you could also go to the Lord and repent. Confess it to the Lord and receive healing. So Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that we would not be reluctant to follow you or half-heartedly follow you. But Lord, that we would be wholeheartedly following you. And Lord, where there's things in our lives that is not rightfully supposed to be there, Lord, that we repent of them and allow you to reign wholeheartedly on the throne of our heart. So Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us and encourage us. Continue to search us. Lord, help us to be your mouthpiece, your hands and your feet here. Lord, that we would be found doing what you have called us to do, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Help us, Lord, to share with love and mercy and joy. Lord, I just pray that you continue to help us where we're falling short on. But Lord, that we would desire to wholeheartedly surrender to you. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your kindness. So thank you, Lord, that you're always at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a fellowship lunch. There's a lot there. There's 36 hamburgers. So, yeah. So, Lord, for the meal that we're about to eat, and Lord, let it be a time of fellowship, of breaking bread with one another, and to share what you've been doing in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to be desiring to share with our brothers and sisters, and just to have conversations that are focused around you today. In Jesus' name, amen.